Yeah, I am curious on your catalyst for all this.
Okay.
But like my catalyst was like a lot of pain, and like being on the internet too much mixed with a lot of like personal stuff that led to a lot of pain. I was actually talking to my friend this morning about it, but yeah, essentially like once COVID hit, that's where like the paradigm shift began, in my opinion. Okay. Like the schism kind of cut through society. I think there was already a buildup of it in America, but that's where I started to notice it, right? Like just being tucked away on social media and then seeing like one opinion and then a complete opposite opinion, and it almost seemed like it felt like there was missiles flying over my head, you know? And like there's nothing I could do about it. And I definitely had the, you know, naive intuition of like, can't we all just get along? And I'll be honest, like my at least bounce back was initially like approaching that can't we all get along with, it would initially started with like the far left side of things, the BLM side of things. And I just got accused for being really naive. And so I just backed off, you know, that's kind of where I started with all of it. But then like to get kind of personal, like, yeah, I was like using drugs a lot more frequently in lockdowns. And getting more and more like dug in with like the vaccines and stuff, I'm kind of just painting a broad brushstroke of like what happened with everything, at least from my perspective. And that perked my ears up. And then mixed with just like substance abuse and being isolated and being on the internet, I went like far to the conspiratorial side. And I just thought like mainstream media is pumping out all these lies. It's this big facade. I felt like the veil had been lifted politically because of Joe Biden's incompetence. And not to comment on Trump's incompetence, but just that's what opened my eyes. Mm-hmm. And then, and then I just got really sick, mentally sick, kept the drug abuse up. And like, I thought in my mind, I was like, if we can get the truth out there, you know, like it was coming from a loving place. I didn't have that much resentment. I just more had a lot of fear. And I was just sitting inside on the internet, and I had this world in my mind, and I hadn't been outside in months, you know? And then I finally just got to the point where I became so unhealthy and mentally unhealthy. I was like, something seems off about me now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much you know about the delusions of someone abusing drugs, but it can get pretty bad. Yeah. It can get pretty bad, you know? I didn't have a job, and I was like stealing money from my roommates, and this is getting more on the personal side, but, and then I was like, something, okay, this is not normal behavior for me.
Yeah.
And so I ended up getting clean.
Yes.
I've been clean for a little over a year now, but the reason I'm bringing that up is because I was all roped in with all this far right stuff, and I was just so scared, you know? So that's my catalyst for like, I love that you're doing this, because at least from what I witnessed, it doesn't matter what side I'm on, in my opinion, what I did notice was that so many people were just scared, and they were in their egos, and they were shooting their opinions across the way, like the missiles flying overhead, you know?
Yeah.
And they were like shooting those overhead. And I just noticed that. So that's why I like that. You're just like, I'm going to go to the park and ask people what they think and how they feel.
Yeah.
'Cause that's what I think people need. It's not about the right or wrong opinion. I think everyone has their own opinions based off of their own personal story. Right? Someone might be upset about like the BLM stuff more than me because that's not my experience.
Right.
You know, and so those people want to be heard. And so that's what I realized was missing, is like people aren't like listening to people.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I think that's an important part. It's hard to be open to hearing other people when you haven't yourself felt heard.
Mm.
There's a book on that card. It's got a reading list on the back that kind of speaks to that. It's kind of a characteristic of difficult conversations. So, I think that's definitely something that a lot of people are missing, and more of that is needed. It's just kind of having spaces where people can express themselves without like getting shot down, basically, for being open and honest.
Yeah, it almost seems like, at least, and there's like so many different ways I could probably pick it apart in my mind. I've gotten completely off social media too, and I just had to pause. I'll even look at the news like every once in a while, get triggered. But what I still see, at least now that I've settled down, my ideological charge is kind of settled down. You know, I'm sort of like, okay, everyone's coming from different positions. We're looking at the same thing from different angles. Mm-hmm. But It doesn't seem to, like, I think what's happening, it seems to be more of a, not about a what problem. I think we all know what the problems are. It's more like a how to accomplish it problem sometimes. I mean, maybe not, but it seems like, you know, I don't know. I can't think of a, maybe I'm not articulate enough to explain an example of it. But even people that are like, for example, frustrated about, like, they're the vaccines, for example, like, seem to be like a real big divider. I don't know why it got politicized. But it's like, we know what the problem is. We know COVID's the problem. And it's just like how to accomplish it and how to go about that. But what's weird is if you had a different how, you were almost accused of being immoral. Or a sheep, right? The right would accuse the left of being sheep and followers and not, and trusting the system too much. And the left would accuse the right of not being considerate of other people. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's just a how issue. But we all, at the end of the day, if you really ask people, and we're going back to like why it's important to listen to people, I think if you get to the core of it, it's like, I think people just want to be heard, like you said. Mm-hmm. And like, because I didn't get the jab, and I definitely had some people say some things. It wasn't like awful comments, but it definitely still hurt to come from like a friend or whatever. Or and then it was also sad to see how scared they were getting multiple shots, and I was scared for them, right? But I'm not trying to pigeonhole on the vaccine, just as an example.
Sure.
It seemed like, yeah, once again, like just the how, and then you have a different how, and you get accused of being not a good person. And that's what I seem to be like the theme with all this stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, like, so, I mean, how long have you been doing this? Is this, like, a new thing for you, or?
No, this is my third summer doing it. And if you don't mind, I want to stick on vaccines for a moment, because
first
summer I came out was, like, toward the part of COVID where I think a lot of people had gotten vaccinated, and there were, like, debates about masking and kind of whether or not kids should be going back to school and that sort of thing. And one of my takeaways from some of those conversations, I tend to lean a little bit left, and a lot of my friends are kind of more left leaning, and so, you know, they're all like super pro vaccination and whatnot. One of the things I got from talking with people kind of more on the right of the political spectrum was that, you know, like you mentioned, there was a kind of how do we accomplish this sort of component to it, and their approach was different but not wrong. You know, it was just you know, I talked to a nurse who was like, I don't want to get vaccinated. And like, my first thing is like, man, you're a nurse, you're around all these people. You know, you could be putting them at risk. But, you know, she pushed back that she's getting tested like every day. So, you know, she's not really putting those people at, you know, as far as we knew at that time, at any significant risk.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she was still accomplishing the same end goal that I was concerned about, of you know, protecting the people around her, just through a different means. And so I don't think a lot of that nuance was really communicated in the, like, news media. And then it was similarly with, there was a guy I was talking to who he'd already had COVID. He just, you know, he'd already gotten it. And so he had some level of protection from having actually caught it. So yeah, you know, it's not like he didn't care about the impact of being around other people. It's just that he was looking to approach protecting those folks in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was important for me to kind of have some of those conversations and appreciate that people might have had different conclusions and different paths, but we weren't like completely living in different worlds. We weren't, you know, we didn't have completely different values. The differences were kind of at the margin, but you just, I wouldn't have seen them if I hadn't had those conversations.
Yeah, no, that's good to hear. And like, that's, it is cool that you would make the effort. And like, it does take, I think all it really doesn't take much effort to just, for someone to pull back. Not that you're wrong. Like, you just got to see another perspective and be like, oh, I didn't, you know, maybe on this one news outlet, they've been demonized or called like science deniers.
Right.
When maybe they just wanted the natural immunity.
Right.
Or maybe they had some, they just, like, at least for me personally, my view is just like, I didn't like medicine's great. It's accomplished a lot, but emergency authorized medicine makes me a little uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Right. That's why I didn't like it. So that was my first thing. Mm-hmm. But, anyway, yeah, the effort just to ask somebody is crazy how far that can go. And even, it almost seems like it has to be in person. Like, are you on social media?
Not as much. Like, I post a couple of times a year on Facebook now. But, I think part of the problem with social media is that you're communicating to an audience. And, like, you've got an identity to defend to a lot of, that you have to defend to a lot of those people.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's not as much willingness to change your view. And to be as open with views that are different from, like, the core of your friend group. At least that's been my experience.
Yeah. Yeah, it... Even though I was trying to tread as lightly as I could, and I at least had the perception that I was, oh, I'm not in my... I'm not engaging with any sort of tribalism on the internet. I'm just being as soberingly honest as I can. Mm-hmm. And but at the end of the day, like, if I posted something that resonated with somebody, some people can have the right ideas for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And it would eventually inevitably kind of like have this gravitational pull to one side or the other. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like this hoorah type momentum with it all.
Yeah.
And it's like, guys, wait, calm down. Like, just because you're right about this doesn't mean that the other people are wrong necessarily. Right. You know, it just seemed, no matter how I tried, because I tried like a channel, and I even thought about doing this, but, you know, my story, I was just too fucked up to be doing this. But, I just noticed it had that, like, strong gravitational pull. It's just like this amplifier of bad ideas is what the internet seems to be.
Yeah.
I was, you might like this guy, Ryan Chapman. I think you would like him.
Okay, Ryan, C-H-A-P or
C-H-A-T? C-H-A-P-M-A-N, Ryan Chapman. I've only seen a couple of his videos. It looks like on his channel he dissects ideologies, but he seemed to be in a very sobering way. But the video I liked was he talked about memetics. And I don't know if you've ever heard of memetics.
It's not ringing a bell. I know I've heard that term before, but I can't connect it to what.
That's kind of where I was at. Like, I just saw the video and I'm like, I think I've heard of memetics, but I don't exactly know what they are. And I only know it from the word memes,
okay,
which is like the joke, obviously, mm-hmm, or joking memes. But I didn't know there was memes. Like, a meme was a concept.
Right.
It's
like a social contagion or something, right?
Yeah, it's how the idea evolves. So it's about an idea evolving in the same way natural selection creates organisms.
Okay.
So it replicates over and over again and has mild, slight mutations.
Okay.
And then, just like the same thing with a meme, you have like the picture,
mm-hmm,
and then there's like the main joke that it came from,
yeah,
and then over time it evolves through, right, a bunch of people replicating it, and the best and funniest ideas get put to the top,
okay,
and then you essentially create a distilled version of that meme,
okay,
right? And then eventually it dies off as like a species, or it stays, once it's like, it's perfectly distilled, it kind of stays that way.
Okay.
But, so it makes sense, like that concept makes sense when it comes to the joking memes, but the concept of memetics is even broader. He talks about the title of the video is why people believe untruthful things or something like that.
Okay.
And it's not about if the idea is true as to why it procreates, if that makes sense. Like, for example, like, nature didn't care if we were happy. It just cared that we had more babies, right? Same thing with memetics. The idea doesn't care if it's true. It just cares that it replicates. And so the idea could replicate, for example, through making people angry, making people feel like they need to share it in order to protect themselves or their family,
yeah,
right? And so it only has to, it has to have like almost a parasitic type of element to it in order to procreate more.
Gotcha, yeah.
And so when he framed it like that, I'm like, oh, that makes so much sense as to why the truth, in quotes, is not coming out. Because it's more about just transferring an idea that triggers us, triggers that primal instinct.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I've been framing, I guess, the internet and like news outlets like that. It's an interesting concept to think about, like, oh, these ideas just get like perpetrated over and over again. And it's like why it's hard to have a conversation, I feel like.
Yeah.
But so did you ever change your stance with the, or did you, maybe not change your stance, but like, what else is, like, have you opened your eyes up to? Sounds like you lean left.
I lean left, yeah. That's fair.
It was weird. I was left, and then I think once the vaccine said, I went right.
Yeah.
And I went right hard, though, you know, like I said. But I'm curious, like, if there's other things that, like, even, well, I'm kind of more curious, like, what are the things that you want to be heard about? Like, what are the things that you think are being mistranslated with your views that the right might be listening to and, like, dismissing?
Yeah. I'm going to pull up something I was writing down, kind of a list of kind of my hot takes on things, or my beliefs on things.
Yeah, you got to have them on deck.
Yeah.
Got to have them in the chamber.
Right.
Especially with a sign like this.
Yeah. Let's see.
How many people do you get a day?
I'd probably say about 3 people every 2 hours, roughly.
Okay.
Kind of depends on how nice a day it is and, you know, how much traffic it is. This is actually a pretty decently trafficked area. This is my first time out here.
Oh, nice.
Let's see. So, you know, voter fraud and voter suppression are kind of, you know, two sides of a similar coin, where I think a lot of people on the left tend to be more focused on voter suppression. Mm. And a lot of people on the right tend to be more focused on voter fraud.
Interesting.
And, like, when I think about the 2020 election... You know, there's still, Donald Trump, for instance, is still making claims about voter fraud during that election. And I guess I don't put much stock in those.
Mm.
I took him seriously at the, like, right after the election. You know, people were, you know, oh, there's a video of this. There's a some Sharpie thing in Arizona.
Throwing a bunch of stuff in the mailbox.
Yeah. And yeah. So, you know, like the top 3 or 4 of those. At that time, I looked into, and they were just like, it took, you know, a day, less than a day of the news cycle to dismiss them.
Mm.
And there came a point when it was just like, I'm not going to spend all of my time hunting down these kind of wishful thinking voter fraud sorts of things.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't think it's important. I think that, you know, in a tight election, even a small amount of fraud, it can swing it. And I think there is always going to be fraud. But when you compare it to the impact of, for instance, redistricting, which is kind of a more legal form of fraud.
Yeah.
I've
been doing that for a long time.
I think it's minimal in comparison to that.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's... I didn't pay much attention to that only because... Yeah, I mean, I will say I stopped, you know, you pull up footage of people stuffing stuff in a mailbox or whatever, and it's like, I don't know what's in that mailbox, right? But I honestly didn't pay much attention to that, but I just can't wrap my mind around anything happening in these upper echelons of politics. I can't process it. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand. I can't wrap my head around Trump as, like, a person. I think he's fascinating. I think that doesn't, to be clear, that doesn't mean that he should be the president, but I think there's a fascinating, actually speaking of memetics, there's a fascinating thing that he captures in people that people are hungry for.
Yeah.
But that's not talking about voter fraud. I guess I can't speak towards the voter fraud. I don't like that there's incredible amounts of distrust, though.
Yeah.
I will say I've had, that's another thing, like, I give myself some credit, and I have some nuance with the opinions, and I didn't think the voter fraud was a thing, but I also do believe in, like, the deep state, you know, pulling the strings on Biden.
Okay.
But I don't think, like, it was quite that bad, but I didn't pay much attention to it. I didn't want Trump to be president. I didn't want Biden to be president. The one thing that scared me was that it might not be on the ground floor, but at least in the mainstream media outlets, people were so excited to just not have Trump, but they didn't seem to be excited to have Biden.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
And that lesser of two evils is a scary territory, actually.
Yeah.
I think you can point the finger at whoever, It's like, but that's how I felt. I'm like, this is not a good idea, guys, to just be like, yay, no Trump.
Right.
But that's the one thing that scared me with the voting stuff. But I honestly haven't been paying much attention to it. I've been maybe checking out this guy named Change the Subject, because I honestly don't have much of an opinion on the voter sure. stuff. I kind of probably am more on your side with things. But it's like, yeah, guys, if they wanted to change the election, they would do it in a much more, you know, if we're talking the deep state, yeah. they would do it in a probably a more, like you said, maybe a legal way or something.
Right, right. Or not hire somebody.
They could be so blatant about it. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Like hire someone off Craigslist.
Right.
That's what it, yeah. But, so I agree with that. But I have no idea. I would, honestly, I was actually joking with a friend the other day. I'm like, would you cut off your left arm to know everything about what's taking place in the world? Mm. Just as like a joke. And he's like, honestly, dude, I might. Because it is fascinating. He's like, what really is happening? But yeah, I wonder what that, because there's obviously like people, I am curious, like I said, with the psychological side, like why are people in such denial about every election when they lose?
Yeah.
There does seem to be like this just complete dissonance with every election, which is not good.
Yeah.
It's like these systems, trust is like a commodity. It's not just this thing that's inherent in every society. We're actually, right. It's actually an amazing thing that we have this. Yeah. That people can even just run around in this park and feel okay. You know? Yeah. But yeah, so I think we're playing with fire when we start to talk about mistrust and stuff. Yeah. I shouldn't speak towards it. I heard Hillary was talking about already preemptively saying that there's some Russian interference with, like,
interesting.
With the next election.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is so dangerous. Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't have much to say about that. It's just fascinating. It's so weird.
Yeah.
I know that's such a simple thing to say. It's just weird, but it really is. It's strange.
It is, yeah.
And I also was like, is this just because I'm getting older? Or is it because things are strange? And my parents would be like, I've been on this planet longer than you have, and this is, something's different now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've been so out of tune. I think the other thing, too, honestly, is I've been so, like, now I just pulled away. I'm like, I just got to worry about myself. I gotta try and love people around me. I gotta try and, yeah, that's it. Like, and sometimes I listen to like Russell Brand or something for a little bit. He's kind of more on the right wing side, but anyway, that's like my end goal. I'm curious, like, what you think aside from this, which I think is really cool. Like, what do you think the way out of this is? Because yes, it'd be awesome if everyone had the same ideas. But almost that would, I think that'd be scary.
Yeah.
But it seems like there's like a want for that. People just want everyone to, maybe actually I'm mistranslating that. I think people just want everyone to get along and listen, like you said. But it seems like there's people out there trying to get everyone to have the same ideas.
Right.
Trying to form their viewpoint over people. And I'm wondering what you think the antidote to that would be. I mean, I guess you're kind of doing it.
Yeah, that's a good question. So let's see. So the thought is that there are folks who want kind of harmony through conformance. Is that right?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Okay. And so what's the antidote to that? That's tough. Because I think that most people are comfortable like having these conversations so long as there isn't something significant at stake for them. And when there is, I think that's where that kind of fear comes in. And maybe that impulse to try to drive toward conformity as opposed to like more mutual understanding and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, there is some danger in democracy. Particularly for people who are getting outvoted, right? Like the majority can basically kind of impose their will on whatever minority, and that can be a pretty scary situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think our Constitution tries to have some protections in place to protect the minority from like majority tyranny. Mm-hmm. And I think that, if people feel that sense of protection, then they'll probably be more open to having discourse, but I think it's when people, you know, feel under threat, basically.
Yeah.
That they shut down and pursue those avenues.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's like a generic way to approach protecting folks, because what somebody feels the need to be protected from, you know, is going to vary from person to person, and
yeah,
it's important to folks varies kind of from person to person. So I don't know what the right answer is. You have any thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, no, I like the forced conformity, or the forced harmony, I guess. But I think what people get excited about is honestly, well, what they want is like meaning. They want to feel heard. They want to feel connected. And I notice, especially in, at least in men, I can only speak probably, I mean, there's a whole spectrum of personality traits in between men and women, don't get me wrong, but I think there's like more masculine traits and more feminine traits. But like with men, I think they especially get very anxious when, and they lash out when they're not being heard, and they want to take control of the situation. And there can be subtle versions of that I notice. Either they shut down, they get really, really anxious, they turn it on themselves, drinking, drugs, like what I did. But like, I think where I'm going with all this is, it seems like the way out is through more and more ideas. Oh, we just have to get the right idea, the right policy. I think it's great that people are pushing like a good, they're pursuing policy, mm-hmm. like actual laws, like don't get me wrong. But my personal take on it is through working on yourself and improving yourself. I'm grateful, honestly, to be in a much better situation than I was even a year ago or a year and a half ago. But I thought at first it was all about enforcing my ideas onto other people. Because mm-hmm. I was convinced I was right. I was almost positive I was right about everything that I thought. Yeah. And as I started to take care of myself more, I noticed that's the way out. It's inward, not outward. Yeah. Doesn't mean you can't protest. It doesn't mean that you can't pursue policy or run for political office. Like, I want people to do that. That's not me. That is not my vibe. I'm too woo-woo to be wearing a suit and talking in front of a podium. Someone needs to do that. But I do think, to put a neat bow on it, the way out is taking care of yourself. And, I mean, of course, loving people around you, but it's so easy to point fingers. It's just so easy. And I noticed that in myself, so in such an amplified version. And mm-hmm. as I've been taking care of myself more, I realized, man, everyone just wants to be heard.
Yeah.
There's actually this quote that's coming to mind, which is like one of my favorite quotes. It's written, it's out of the Gulag Archipelago.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of that book?
I've heard of it, but I don't remember
the details. It's like a huge book. I haven't read it. I've read parts of it. I've read summaries of it, listened to summaries about it. But it's, who's it written by? Alexander Solzhenitsyn.
Okay.
And so he was in the gulags during like Soviet or Stalin era, Soviet Union. And, you know, just neighbors tattletaling on each other. Kind of, I mean, it would be considered far left stuff. That's not the point I'm bringing it up. It could be extreme right, extreme left, or both very dangerous territories, in my opinion. But point being, he's in the gulags. Family members are tattletaling on each other. There's like just everyone's keeping eyes and ears on each other. And they're all trying to, well, yeah, they're essentially just in this system that is not moving anymore. It's stagnant. It's stuck. And he's in prison, essentially, for having the wrong opinions, which is dangerous. But he wrote, and so he's writing about all this stuff he's witnessing. But he had this quote. I'll cut to the chase. He said, if only it were so simple. If only there were evil people out there somewhere insidiously committing evil deeds. And if only we had to separate them from us and destroy them. But the line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being. And who is willing to destroy a piece of his own heart?
Wow,
and it's like, damn, dude, that's wild.
Yeah.
He didn't even have paper to write the book either. He memorized it and wrote it by the time he got out of the gulags. But that's coming from a guy that saw like extreme authoritarianism, mm-hmm. and you know, state control and stuff. And he realized the only way out is, like, within, you know. I can't control, unfortunately, like, people, you know, unfortunately, like, shooting up a place with a gun, or having a racist opinion or a sexist opinion or an unscientific opinion or just a misinformed opinion. And I also can't control what they do with that opinion. Like, any more than, you know, an extreme example in, like, what I was in extreme psychosis. There was no getting to me for a period of time, right? I was in tremendous amounts of pain. No matter what you said, it wasn't gonna click with me.
Yeah.
And the only way out was to heal myself, but I had to get to enough pain in order to finally face that and maybe admit that I was wrong for a second. And so I can't control that, though, and all I can do is respond with love and faith. These are words that have new meaning to me. I used to hear them all the time, but they have new meaning to me now. And faith that the other person is going to try. And maybe right now is not their time. Maybe right now they're in pain. And so asking them what they need instead of taking offense to it, you know. But it definitely, I will say, it's outside of my rational thinking. I made myself sick with my rational thinking, right? If only we could do this, if only I thought this out perfectly, if I could think out the perfect answer to the systematic problem, then the world would be better. And I just drove myself crazy doing that, and I had to realize it's outside of my rational thinking. Love is outside of rationality. It's not a rational thing. It's beyond my understanding, which I guess is kind of where you get into the territory of talking about God or something outside of myself. But that's all I can do. I can't control anyone else. And I hope other people wake up to how toxic these missiles are flying overhead, like I said. And, you know, maybe that's easy for me to say with a belly full of food in this peaceful park right now. But I'd like to think that I would, in times of chaos, I would hopefully approach things as lovingly as I can. But I think that's at least a solid start for a way out.
Yeah.
But it's scary to think about, man. You know? I don't know.
That was good. That was beautifully stated.
Thanks, man.